Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton from Sydney's 2SER 107.3, and each week Ed and I have a bit of a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything policy, planning and politics, from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Biggest story of the week, Iran deal. Donald Trump moved forward the deadline to announce that America would be leaving the Iran deal, claiming it was badly negotiated, an embarrassment, and Iran was not holding up its end. Iran has signaled it may be willing to stay on with the deal with other signatories, but what does this mean for the possibility of nuclear weapons in the Middle East?
Well, it means Iran's going to get one. And why the Israelis want this is beyond me. Iran didn't have any nuclear weapons. The Israelis don't want them to have them. But now the invitation is to have a nuclear weapon, because if you do, you can be like North Korea and negotiate your own deal. I don't get it.
American allies, you know, apart from Israel, France most strongly, the United Kingdom, they urge Trump to stick with the deal. What's it going to mean for American bargaining power with its allies that he didn't?
Well, does he have any bargaining power with those allies? I think it's almost all dead. Everyone's tried to hold it up. Merkel, everyone's tried to hold it up. The French president, with all his Manning hands all over him, charming him. And I don't think he has an attention span more than, 30 seconds? So the charm offensive doesn't work because it wears off so soon.
It does make a lot of sense because we saw, as you say, this real charm offensive from Macron. But, in the end, I mean, Donald Trump seemed charmed by Macron. He was very happy with the relationship with France. But in the end, Macron couldn't get the result he was looking for.
No, nobody can. He's charmed for a few minutes, and I don't know what kind of animal you could compare him to. He's not vicious as long as you're feeding him. But as soon as you stop feeding him, he's vicious. And anyone who says anything negative about him, he's triply vicious. So he can't even hear the news about, you know, the polls or anything that's negative. And clearly, this was an Obama deal, so he had to kill it.
Yeah, let's talk about Obama. Former President Barack Obama has called Trump's move a serious mistake, but really, wasn't pissing off Obama a big part of why Trump was opposed to this deal in the first place? I mean, really, he's doing all he can to undercut Obama's legacy, and he's not shy about it.
No, he isn't. But, all right, what's your next act? If you're going to say, I'm against things that Obama did, what are you doing? The only thing he's done is the tax bill. All the government agencies are in shambles. It looks like most of the candidates are in shambles. So what has he done? The economy is doing well, but it didn't start doing well with Trump. It started with Obama. Everyone knows it takes years for an economy to correct itself. It doesn't do it overnight. And Trump's only been in a little over a year. So you cannot attribute the economic gains to him.
The original date for this announcement was going to be on May 12th. Trump said that no one was going to know what he was going to do on May 12th. Then it was moved up, made with this kind of sweeping denouement. A lot of Trump's actions kind of follow, even, you know, over a year into his presidency, they follow this reality TV formula. Could this just be part of him distracting from his other scandals? And if so, how far could he actually be willing to go to keep doing that as the scandals pile up?
Oh, he'll go very far. He's under some pressure now that it looks like North Korea will happen. And so he doesn't have that as a distraction anymore. And Iran has to be his new distraction. But the American people have not reacted to the Iranian thing. Iran's an old news deal. I haven't heard people marching in the streets or congratulating for doing this about Iran, he thinks the Iranians will rise up against the Ayatollah, overthrow the government, and throw any nuclear programs in the sea. That's ridiculous. If they did overthrow the government, it would be to get more nuclear weapons, not less. The Iranians are unhappy about their regime, but they're unhappy because they heard they got all these billions of dollars from the U.S. and they haven't done much for the people on the street. And that'd be true anywhere in the world. $1 billion here or there doesn't affect very many people's lives.
Before we move on from this one entirely, you did mention this just before, and you did mention a couple of weeks ago about how pulling out of the Iran deal could damage talks with North Korea. As you've said, North Korea, they got a seat at the big table by developing a nuclear program. Why would they give up nukes when they've seen just how America can turn around and tear up these deals anyway?
They won't. I anticipate they're going to drive a very hard bargain about not giving up their current nukes and not testing new nukes. But you're not going to give up the thing that got you to the table, for sure. And particularly when you're dealing with an unreliable adversary, the United States. So the North Koreans would be silly to give up their nuclear program.
Some good news, though, out of North Korea. Newly minted Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he made a second secret trip into the Hermit Nation to secure the release of three American prisoners. Relations are getting downright friendly, it would seem. What's the bigger picture, Ed?
This one is a little bit harder to figure. Clearly, holding American prisoners is not a good thing for North Korea. Remember the young man that died about a year ago. And they don't want to have those things on their hands. It brings a lot of negative world publicity. And these three Americans were pretty useless to them. They weren't pawns. They couldn't use them to trade anything. So they just got them out of the way. I don't read a lot into this other than, let's get these guys out of here. It's not doing us any good.
Onto those aforementioned scandals, the Stormy Daniels saga. Firstly, Rudy Giuliani, always a delight, blundering into the mix in a softball interview with Fox News' Sean Hannity, saying Trump was aware of the payment to Stormy Daniels. Now, he and Team Trump have tried to backtrack on this one. Giuliani, a wise hire for Trump?
Giuliani wanted to be president of the United States very badly. He wanted to be in the White House. He wanted to be on the news. I don't think he gives a stuff about Trump. What he wants is Giuliani. And if he can create some kind of a profile that puts him in a position to run for the presidency, he'll do that. If not, he'll create a profile for himself anyway, as he did in New York. He's the kind of guy that actually would throw the president under the bus if it was to his advantage. And I think Trump better figure that out very, very soon.
And now we kind of see the scandals colliding with revelations from Stormy Daniels' lawyer that have since been confirmed that Trump lawyer Michael Cohen received $500,000 from a Russian billionaire with ties to Putin. Now, the lawyer in question, Michael Avenatti, he's even suggested this money could have been used to pay the sum for Daniel's silence. Lots of twists and turns in this story, Ed.
This is a bit of a strange one, though. I can imagine the Russians paying for an asset, but why would they pay for silencing these porn stars? I can't see what their advantage is. Other than if Trump is so afraid of the porn star information, it's to cover up something else. There's a lot of speculation now, and I think it's going to become confirmed, is that Trump did two things. One, when nobody else was getting any money, he was getting it from the Russians and all kinds of money laundering deals. The other is when he was there for the Miss America pageant or Miss Universe or whatever, Miss World, whatever it was, he misbehaved himself, which it's hard for me to believe that Donald Trump, the would exercise some extramarital things. But let's look at it this way. What if Stormy Daniels is the tip of an iceberg and he wants to sink that iceberg, but he can't use his own money to do it because that would read right back to him. And so the Russians, protecting their own flanks, do it for him. There's got to be a trail that shows that. And when that email or whatever comes up, or Cohen's being in Prague and it falls through, that's going to be the trigger for all kinds of bad things for Donald Trump, because he'll have to continue to lie about it. And Mueller will take him to a grand jury. And if he lies, he's in jeopardy.
Almost one step forward, or two steps forward, one step back for the Mueller investigation. They did have that sort of stress over Paul Manafort this week, with a judge ruling that perhaps they're only going after Manafort to get information on Trump. And yet we've seen this incredible new glut of information seemingly come out.
Yes, I think that judge, this is my own surmise, I have no evidence here, but that judge is a relatively conservative judge. Judges actually have homes they go back to, and neighbors and friends and circles that they're in. And so this judge is making all this noise so he can say, I made that noise, but I don't want to be overturned, so I will allow this investigation to go forward. Because if he does anything else, the judge above him will overturn him in an instant, and he'll look like a fool. So I think this is, hey, look, friends, I did all I could, but when the deal went down, I had to allow this investigation to go forward. Let me just say one more thing, and I know this is getting long. Manafort is guilty of so many crimes. If the judge does anything to lower the penalties there, he's really going to be in trouble with his fellow judges. So I don't think he's going there. I think this was just a sop to Fox News.
Moving on, this week we've seen four primary elections in Ohio, Indiana, West Virginia, and North Carolina. We won't run down all the results yet because it is quite a lot, but any big takeaways, Ed?
Well, it looks interesting to me. It seems that everybody's moving to the middle, that the demos are moving to the middle. The middle-of-the-road Democratic candidates seem to win quite easily against the far left, the kind of Nancy Pelosi-ites. And so it seems to me the Democrats will do best by doing little. The Republicans are really divided. And when they run candidates like they did in West Virginia, a man who had been indicted and served time in jail for basically allowing minors to die due to bad practices in his mines, and then him saying he's more Trump than Trump, was bad news for Trump. So the middle of the road Republican won there. And the only Republicans that are getting any traction are those that are a little bit middle of the road, and some who are actually distancing themselves from Trump. So for Trump, he basically has no constituency in the Congress. The Democrats may, and this is a far hope and possibility, take both houses. If the Democrats take both houses, Trump's presidency is literally over. And it does not serve the Democrats well to impeach Trump, because he's all they have in the absence of a real program to deliver to the American people.
And just finally, this week reports that senior U.S. diplomats have been warning the Trump administration against moving to expel some 300,000 Central American and Haitian migrants living legally in the United States. saying that such mass deportations could cause instability and an increase in illegal immigration. The Trump administration decided they're going to do it anyway. This has come out as part of a Senate Democrats investigation. Any thoughts?
This is so mean-spirited. The United States has 360 or 70 million people. A few hundred thousand people here or there don't change the job picture or anything else. I don't know who's going to sweep the streets or change babies' nappies or clean rooms in hotels other than these people. I can understand being tough on people who are in the country illegally. But these people came here because they were immigrants who had suffered disasters in their own country, and they've been good citizens. So if they go back home, they're going to be permanent enemies of the United States. This makes no sense at all. Trump is preaching lower and lower and lower on the economic order, and it's going to come back to bite him. I think he'll start losing big in the Midwest because those immigrants are very important to farmers. So where Trump's getting his advice is God only knows, but it doesn't seem very good advice to me.
US Event is produced in the studios of 2SER 107.3. Help support the work we do by going to 2ser.com/donate. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.